Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the seven feasts of the Lord from Leviticus chapter 23. Most people are not readily able to just click off and name all seven feasts straight out, and for that matter, neither could I until I started studying the subject and began a deep dive. But most believers are familiar with two of the seven feasts that are interestingly both tied together by the same event yet separated by a period of 7 weeks. The first feast that believers in Christ have heard about that we have previously talked about in our other radio programs is the Feast of Passover, which kicks off the beginning of all seven feasts and takes place in the first month of the year that correlates in our calendar to the month of April. The Passover feast ultimately points to Christ, our Passover lamb, and was prophetically fulfilled at Christ's first coming. The entire Passover season actually encompasses the first three feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, which together picture the full meaning of Christ's first coming in his death, burial, and resurrection. The next well-known feast is actually the fourth feast in God's redemptive calendar of events. It is the Feast of Pentecost, which launches the birth of the church with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon all of God's people, including both Jews and Gentiles. The Feast of Pentecost occurs exactly 50 days or 7 weeks plus 1 day later that begins counting from the day after the Sabbath following Passover, which is known as the Feast of First Fruits, or what we as believers in Christ call Resurrection Day. The resurrection of Christ, when Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, is day one on the biblical counting calendar that starts the time clock and marks the period of time between the Passover season and the Feast of Pentecost. For 40 days, the Bible tells us that Christ walked and talked with his disciples, even appearing to over 500 brethren at once. But did you ever wonder what all Jesus was doing during this 40-day period before he ascended back up into heaven to be with his Father? The Gospel of Luke tells us that the resurrected Christ spent time with his disciples, going back and showing them, teaching them how all that had transpired had happened in exact fulfillment according to the Scriptures, in which all of God's Word, both individually and all together, points to Christ in all of Scripture from beginning to end. Acts chapter 1 clearly tells us that the resurrected Christ was with his disciples for 40 days, but on the 40th day of Christ's ascension, which was his enthronement up into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, the Lord Jesus reminded his disciples on that day two very important commands. The first command that Jesus reminded his disciples was that they were to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that they would be baptized with, the Bible says, not many days hence. The second command that Jesus gave to his disciples was they were to be Christ's witnesses. They were to be his witnesses. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Then 10 days later, or on the 50th day, counting from Christ's resurrection on the Feast of First Fruits following Passover, the day the disciples had been waiting for finally came. After waiting, praying, and being together in one accord, the Bible says, all 120 of them, along with the disciples, the fulfillment of Christ's promise, the giving of the Holy Spirit, had now come. Acts chapter 2 opens with these very words, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, what was the purpose of this day of Pentecost? It was about two main things. It was about the promise and about the harvest. First of all, it was about the promise. Before the day of Pentecost fulfillment in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost for the Jewish people was actually the celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. According to Exodus chapter 19, approximately 50 days had transpired, remember that number 50, from the time the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt at the time of the first Passover and their deliverance from slavery and certain death until they arrived at Mount Sinai, where Moses, by God's own hand, received God's law. However, the problem from the start, even after Moses had received God's law by being up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, is that the Israelite people had broken God's law, and they turned quickly and worshiped instead a golden calf. In other words, right from the jump, God's people who had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb were not law keepers. They were, in fact, lawbreakers and were completely unable on their own to keep God's high and holy law. The Old Testament teaching here is so clear. God's people are completely unable to be God's people because they keep the law, but rather God's people are to keep the law because they are God's redeemed people by faith in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, we keep the law not to be justified by the law, but because we are justified by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. But God knew that this first giving of the law was only temporary and proclaimed a time coming when God would fulfill his promise to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. But interestingly, this promise of God's Spirit didn't start in the New Testament in the book of Acts, but this promise was actually spoken about in the Old Testament in many times and in many places. For example, the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel both declared that God would one day make a new covenant with his people, and by his Spirit the Lord would change his people's heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh and put his Spirit within them and cause them to walk in his statutes and to keep his judgments, his holy law. Sam Nadler, a Jewish believer in Jesus and founder, president of Word of Messiah Ministries, actually looked at these two separate 50-day Pentecost events, one in the Old Testament with the giving of the law, and the other in the New Testament with a promise fulfilled by the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And he was intrigued by their striking similarities, yet polar opposite results. At the giving of the law in Exodus 19, for example, fire and noise was heard as God descended upon Mount Sinai, and the people heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them as flickering flames. And at the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it came as rushing wind and tongues of fire descended upon the believers, and people from abroad heard through voices the wonderful works of God proclaimed in their own language. But the similarities between these two events stop there. In Exodus, when the law was given, it brought death to 3,000 people because they had broken God's law. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was given, it brought life to 3,000 people because they believed God's word about their sin and their only provision for their sin for breaking God's law that is found in Christ alone. The promise of the Holy Spirit fulfilled on the day of Pentecost was not only about the Spirit's life-giving conversion and enablement of God's people to keep God's law as a people of God, but it was also about the empowerment to be Christ's witnesses. In other words, the purpose of the day of Pentecost when it was fully come was not only about the promise, it was also about the harvest. And this is exactly what Peter said and proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. When the people saw and heard all these miraculous things in Acts chapter 2 and the wonderful works of God proclaimed in their own language for all to hear, the people, they asked, "What does this mean?" Peter, the Bible says, stood up on the day of Pentecost when it had fully come and said this. He says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And what, you may ask, is this point of all this prophesying about? It is focused on one thing, to proclaim Christ in these last days before Christ returns. Every day in between Christ's first and second coming is all about the harvest. And that is exactly what the Feast of Pentecost was all about, the celebrating of the ingathering of the harvest. Well, how long does this harvest time last? Just like in the Feast of the Lord's redemptive calendar events, the Feast of Harvest, also known as the Feast of Pentecost, covers the whole time period in between the first three feasts that were fulfilled at Christ's first coming and the second three feasts that will be yet fulfilled at Christ's second coming. So biblically speaking, what time is it right now in these last days that fall in between Christ's first and second coming? Biblically speaking and prophetically speaking, according to God's calendar of events of the seven feasts of the Lord, it is harvest time, and it will continue to remain harvest time all the way until the Lord Jesus comes again. Have you ever been to a missionary conference and noticed a harvest type of theme? I know I have. You know, I don't think that's coincidence because the theme of mission and harvest, they just go together both biblically and prophetically, and also because Jesus in God's word says so. Jesus said in John 4:35, for example, to his disciples, Jesus says, "Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And then again, Jesus says in Matthew 9:37-38, he says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Years ago, when I was 15, I saw a picture of a painting called The Gleaners that depicted three women stooping over and laboring the harvest field, seeking to bring in the last stalks, the sheaves of grain, before sunset came. That picture arrested my attention, and a heart prayer welled up within me and went up to God as I found myself saying, "Lord, I just want to be like one of those simple women with no name, no fame, but serving you faithfully somewhere in your harvest field until you come." I don't know if I fully realized all that I was saying, but I know that the desire of my heart at 15 was to serve the Lord in Christian ministry as a missionary somewhere in the world someday. About a year went by, and I still had that same desire, but I didn't think I was worthy to be one of God's workers in the harvest field serving him. In the fall of that year, around the month of October, I attended a mission conference at my home church in Findlay, Ohio. I sat towards the front because I wanted to drink in all that was said and listen to the pastor who also served as a missionary to Africa. He was our guest speaker. His text that day was unfamiliar to me because he talked about missions and the need to proclaim Christ in these last days, but he wasn't talking from a New Testament text or like from the book of Acts, but his text was from the Old Testament from the prophet Joel. I believe he even referenced Joel chapter 2 about the Holy Spirit being poured out upon God's people for the purpose of being Christ's witness. But what captured my attention is when he had us turn to Joel chapter 3. And even to this day, Joel chapter 3 verses 13 through 14 is my life verse. And it said simply this. It says, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Those brief words of scripture went into my ear and then straight down into my heart. I felt as if the Lord was affirming to me and confirming that he had heard my prayer and that, yes, the Lord was calling me to be one of those simple servants, picking up the sickle and reaping, gathering in the harvest until he comes. The words reverberated in my heart and mind as if the Lord was saying, "Yes, Katrina, I want you to put you in the sickle." From that day forward, I've never looked back. I knew what God had called me to do in serving him, to be part of his harvest team. But this isn't just about me or missionaries, pastors, teachers, or leaders in the church or ministry for those people. This is a call for all of God's people to take part in the Lord's harvest and be part of his harvest team. Why? Because biblically and prophetically, all of God's people have received the promise of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? Is that all of God's people are to take part, each of us doing our part and bringing in the harvest until he comes. How wide is the harvest field that kicked off on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Well, actually, the Lord already told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Remember what Jesus said? This harvest field encompasses the whole world, the four corners of the earth, beginning in where? Our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If the harvest field is as wide as the world and is to go to all the ends of the earth, then how long is this harvest time supposed to last? Well, there again, Jesus answered that is until he comes again. Jesus said also in John 9:4, he says, "Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." There will come a time when the last stalks of grain will be gathered in and the Lamb's book of life will be closed. When will that be? Nobody but the Father knows. But until that day comes, where are we on God's redemptive calendar events timetable? The answer, it's harvest time, which is what the Feast of Pentecost was all about. It's about the promise of the Holy Spirit for empowerment to be Christ's witness for the purpose of bringing in the harvest, the final ingathering of God's people until the final trumpet sounds and our Lord and Savior comes down and gathers all of his people together with him, his sheaves of grain unto himself, and ushers in his reign and eternity with him, with all of God's people together forever. Thanks again for listening to this continued series on the seven feasts of the Lord. And remember, most importantly, above all, that it's still harvest time today.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.